I started talking about it 2 weeks ago, and I just want to continue with the message. I'll be taking it from another angle this morning. If you turn your Bibles with me, well, let's turn to it, but I'm sure you know it by now, to the book of Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. For those that are not regular members of the church, if you're visiting us for the first time, or if you are a regular member, but you know that there are some underground members. You know MI5, they are undercover, so they only appear once in a while. So if you are one of the undercover agents, that we only see you once every month or once every 6 months, just to let you know that this year is a year of supernatural exploits. Amen. Have you heard of undercover Christians? You know who an undercover Christian is? Who is an undercover Christian? The Christians, they don't want anybody to know they're a Christian. You know secret agents, they don't want you to know that they're a secret agent. So undercover Christians are those that they don't want their friends, they don't want their colleagues to know they're Christians. So they only operate on Sundays. Ask your neighbor, are you an undercover Christian? Hallelujah. Let's Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. The Bible says in the book of Daniel 11, 32, it says, but those who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. That's part two. It says, but those, or that's the KJV, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, great exploits, supernatural exploits. It says something, it says, you shall know, those that know, and they will be strong. The strength means there's power in your life. It means that God will give you inner strength to be able to do certain accomplishments that you would not have been able to do if you did not know God. Amen? You know, the supporting text is taken from the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And once again, it's a scripture that we know very well. It's one that I've shared on. And it says, now to him who is able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us. That makes me to understand that there is a power on my inside working on my behalf. There is a power on my inside that is to my advantage. And based on that power that is on my inside, I'll be able to do some things that are exceedingly, even beyond my imagination. Things that I did not even think about, based on the power that resides on the inside of me. It makes me to understand that what I'll be able to achieve, I'll be able to do exceedingly abundantly, much more. Much more. But it's based on the premise of the power that resides on the inside of me. You know, 2 weeks ago, I started sharing about the power that we have, that you have on the inside of you. And I explained. Now, when I talk about the power, I'm not talking about the New Agers that believe that, you know, self-actualization. Because, no, that's not the kind of power. I'm not talking about the occultic power. I'm talking about the only one and true power, the all-powerful, the almighty one that can only come from God. And 2 weeks ago, I started sharing, I explained that there is a certain power resident in you that can be activated. I made you understand that every spirit-filled believer, every spirit-filled Christian has the power and the authority to do certain things and perform at certain levels that is not available to other people. I made you to understand that the word dunamis in Greek, power is dunamis, has been translated from the word dunamis, which means dynamite. And I explained that the word exousia means authority. And when you combine those two words, you've got something dynamic and powerful. Listen to me. I went on to state that each of us has the ability to accomplish much. We have the ability to accomplish much, a lot in our lives. I said that very few people actually reach their potential. In fact, very few people realize that they have something working on their behalf that will cause them to rise above what they can imagine. Am I talking to somebody this morning? I said that there are certain characteristics of power. That power is invisible, but the effects are visible. I explained that power is transferable, so you can touch somebody and the power can be transferred. I explained that it is measurable to an extent. And this morning, I just want to continue along the lines. But just before I did, two weeks ago, I then went on to make you understand that some things can help to activate the power in you. One of the things I mentioned is prayer. That your prayers will cause those powers to be activated, the power of God to be activated in your life. I went on to state that obedience to the word of God will help to activate the power. The third thing I said is your words, mainly speaking the word of God. When the enemy, when Satan came to tempt Jesus, the only thing Jesus spoke were words. He said, it is written. If you're able to say it is written, there's something that rises up and begins to work on your behalf in the spiritual realm. Am I speaking to somebody? So, however, this morning, I just want to continue along the same line. And, you know, as I was preparing the message, as I was meditating upon the message, it occurred to me that, you know, when we talk about power, a lot of people think of power, they think along the lines of miracles and the spectacular demonstration of God's power. You know, a lot of people think that, oh, the power is when you touch somebody and they shake and they fall. Power is when somebody, you know, bah, something happens and go. You know, the whole earth splits into two, or the floor, or the earthquake. Now, that is one aspect of the power. And you see, a lot of people, when they think along those lines, immediately there's a blockage in their mind that I cannot operate at this level. But listen to me this morning. I want you to understand that the power of God can operate in your life for your everyday living. It does not have to be the spectacular. It does not have to be the miraculous, like we call it. It does not have to be something that is so significant and it's earth-defining or earth-breaking. No, it does not have to be all that. On a daily basis, the power that is resident in you can cause you to operate at a level that others cannot. Listen to me. We can liken electricity just to make you understand what I'm talking about. Electricity can be likened to the power of God. You see, if you have never seen or used electricity before, you do not miss it or even know that it exists. So, for example, if you go to some rural areas, maybe Africa or Asia, where they don't have electricity, the people there, they are living happily, but they've never experienced it. But once you taste electricity, the minute that it is taken away from you, you miss it. You know, as I was thinking about it, I thought to myself, try to imagine for a minute, if in this country, we do not have electricity for a week. Try to imagine what would happen. Everything will grind to a halt. In fact, you won't be able to get to work because trains use electricity. In fact, everything will grind to a halt. Now, so just the way we are used to electricity, to using electricity on a daily basis in our daily life, the same way God's power, once you can begin to activate it in your life, it will be like everything you use on a daily basis that causes you to survive. Am I speaking to somebody? Now, I want to break it down to a level that we can all understand so that we don't think that, you know, when pastor talks about power, we're talking about power, it relates to some men of God or you need to be at a spiritual level. It's good. You know, there are different aspects or angles of it. Listen to me. The same way we need electricity for our everyday living, the same way we need God's power for everyday living as a Christian. You see, for Christians that have never tasted the power of God in their life, what happens is they do not miss it. However, if you have experienced it on a regular basis, you become fully dependent on it. As I just to put it within context, as I explained 2 weeks ago, the power, the word power has many definitions, has many interpretations. It means the ability to do or act. So what that tells me is that the power I'm talking about right now in this respect, the ability to do or act the way God expects me to on a daily basis. Power means the ability or the capability of doing or accomplishing something. So power gives you the capability. You see, you can have potential, but not be able to achieve it. The power causes you to be able to achieve that potential that is in you. When potential and power collide, you have success. Am I speaking to somebody? You see, there's a gentleman in the Bible called Daniel. Now, Daniel is an interesting character. I just love, he's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I have a lot of favorite ones, favorite characters, but he's one of them. Now, he's an interesting character because if you look at the life of Daniel, you find out that God's power was working in his life, all through his life. The interesting thing is that Daniel did not do the spectacular. So he did not part the Red Sea like Moses. He did not call fire from heaven like Elijah. He did not part the River Jordan like Elisha. He did not heal a sick man like Paul. But there was a power of God in him that was working in his life on a daily basis. What I'm trying to make you understand is that you may not, in your lifetime, part the Red Sea. You may not, in your lifetime, raise a dead person. If you do, it will be brilliant. If you can, it will be really good. But there's a power in you that is working or that can be working and operating on your behalf. You see, a study of the Bible, of the book of Daniel, you find out that Daniel, his life is very similar to ours, you and I. You know, the Bible did not record any instance where he performed any miracle. He was a regular person like both of us, who loved the Lord, who prayed regularly and served him to the best of his ability. Daniel's life is a study of what happens to a person that has God's power working in him. You know, the scripture we read earlier that says that now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think according to the power that works in us. That scripture, I believe, encapsulates the life of Daniel. Because when you look at the life of Daniel, what he achieved and the level he got to would have been beyond his imagination. Let's look closely at his life. The first thing I noticed about Daniel's life, and I'll use it to say what you need power for. You see, Daniel was distinguished in life. Listen to me, you need the power of God to be working in your life for you to be distinguished. There are too many people that are just part of the crowd. Too many of us are just part of the crowd. But Daniel was distinguished. What does it mean to be distinguished? It means that to be a head above the crowd. Listen to me. When you have the power of God working in you and you've activated it, it will enable you to rise above your contemporaries. You see, the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel chapter 1, if you turn with me to the book of Daniel chapter 1, the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel chapter 1 verse 19, Daniel is after Ezekiel. If you are somewhere in Mark, Daniel 1:19, are you there? Listen to me. It says, then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Therefore, they serve before the Lord. Verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, about which the king examined them. Look at that. He says something. He says he found them 10 times, not twice, not three times, not four times, 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Tell me, the only way he could have been 10 times better was not based on his own ability. It was based on the power of God that was working in him. Listen to me. Just to make you understand that it wasn't a fluke. Turn to Daniel 6, verse 3. Daniel 6, 3. Or let's read from verse 1. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Verse 3, then this Daniel distinguished himself, notice that, above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him and the king gave thought to set him over the whole realm. He says he distinguished himself above the governors, above the satraps. Why? Because the Spirit of God, when he says the Spirit of God was in him, he says an excellent spirit. What was working within that excellent spirit? The power of God on the inside of him was causing him to be excellent. Am I making sense this morning? Now, I pray that God's power that made Daniel 10 times better than his contemporaries, that as I share this message today, it will begin to be activated in your life in Jesus' name. That's number one, that the power will cause you to be distinguished. The power that is in you, once it's activated, will cause you to be distinguished above your contemporaries. The second thing is that in order to be significant in life, you need power. You see, distinguished is different from significant. Distinguished is for you. So you are recognized as, hey, being different. Significant, my definition of significance is somebody that makes a difference in the life of other people and leaves a mark in their generation. There are many people that are distinguished but are not necessarily significant. So you can be excellent and you can be recognized as an authority in your area, but you may not be significant. Now, in order for you to be significant, listen to me. You see, you can probably survive in life without the power of God, but you cannot be significant without it. As a Christian. You see, Daniel was significant during his generation, during his lifetime. He was instrumental to the fulfillment of the prophecy given to the nation of Israel. The Bible makes us to understand that he set his face and started praying concerning the prophecy. That caused that fulfillment of the prophecy at that point in time. So that made him significant. He made a mark in his generation. In fact, if you study the life of Daniel, you find out that he served more than one king. He served about three kings during his lifetime. He was significant. Listen to him. A lot of us think that the goals we have, the ambitions we have, you know, we have vision. A lot of people have vision. But what I found out is that if your vision does not benefit mankind or the humanity or the community or society, the probability is it's more an ambition as opposed to a vision. A vision from God will not just benefit you and your family alone. When you begin to have a vision, when you have a vision that benefits mankind, that benefits the community, society, your neighbors, and other people, you begin to be significant. Am I making sense this morning? You know, a lot of people have a vision, oh, I want to
have multinational companies. I want to do this. I want to do that. But check it out. The benefit from that vision, is it all to you and your family? And the truth is, when you have one that is from God that benefits mankind, society, you can be certain that the benefit to your own family and generations after you is already guaranteed. Daniel was significant in his lifetime. Listen to me. If you study the life of Apostle Paul, you know, you'll find out that Paul also was somebody that the power of God operated in his life. Now, Paul was significant because if not for Paul, a lot of the things we read in the New Testament will not exist. Because he wrote a lot of the New Testament. He was significant. So I'm not talking about the miracles he did now, because Paul did a lot of miracles. I'm just talking about on a daily basis, everyday living, the writing made him significant. The power of God is what will make you significant in life. The third thing is that in order to experience the miraculous, now I'm not talking about performing the miraculous, I'm talking about experiencing the miraculous in your life. You know, there's a difference between performing miracles and experiencing miracles. I'll probably talk more about that next week, possibly, if God permits me. But in order to experience the miraculous, you need the power of God in you. You see, when you have the power of God in you, God delivers you from all evil, all attacks. He protects you. Get this. The Bible makes us to understand in the book of Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. Let me read it. From verse 16. Daniel 6:16. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Verse 18, now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king rose very, very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. And notice this, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. You know, as I read that scripture and meditated upon it, the Bible did not say that Daniel performed miracles in the lion's den. It didn't say that he laid hands on the lions. The Bible doesn't say that he even prayed while he was in there. Are you getting what I'm talking about? It didn't say all that. All it says is that Daniel said God sent an angel to shut the mouth. There was a power that was resident in him that was activated, that an angel came on his behalf to protect him. Oh my goodness. You see, there are certain situations that you will get into. That when you are in that situation, you don't remember any scripture. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. There are certain situations that when you are in it, you are confused. But because there's a power that has been working in you, on your behalf, God will send some spiritual help that will deliver you without you uttering a word. Oh my goodness, I hope there's somebody else that understands what I'm talking about. You know, it's amazing. Because if you read further on, you find out that the lions were hungry. It's not that they are eating. They were hungry. But God delivered. You see, when you have the power of God working in you, there's a certain mark upon you. There's a certain mark upon you that protects and delivers you from all evil and harm. You know, the Bible says something in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 11. The Bible makes us to understand that Jesus sent his disciples out. Or Jesus told his disciples, he said, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notice what he said. He said, I give you the power. So there was a power that would cause them not to be hurt. Let me repeat that. He said, I give you the authority. Another version says, I give you the power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the... You see, there is a power in you that is greater than the power of the enemy. That's what Jesus was telling them. That the power I've given you that is on the inside of you is greater than all the power of the enemy. So when the enemy attacks you, because there's a power in you, that will be activated and nothing will happen to you. And that's what happened in the life of Daniel. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? You see, just to bring it from another perspective, and I'll just mention the miraculous here. When the power of God is in you, you can perform miracles as well. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 3, the Bible talks about Peter walking by the beautiful gate. And he saw a certain man begging for alms. And he stopped. He said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I give you. What did he have? The power of God that was in him. There's a power in you that you have that can perform miracles. You know, there are some situations, there are some challenges, there are some problems that money cannot resolve. If Peter had given that man money, he would have remained in his situation. There are some situations that you are looking for money, but what you should be looking for and seeking is the power of God. There are certain circumstances that you are going through that you are seeking for advice, you are seeking, but what you should be looking for is the power of God, or activating the power of God that God has put on your inside. Because money, advice, counsel cannot resolve some certain things. The only thing that can do it is the power of God. My goodness, I wish there's somebody that understands what I'm talking about. Let me move on quickly because of time. Number four. You need the power of God to prosper in this life. And I can already hear people thinking that there are a lot of people that prosper and don't have the power of God. Yes, I agree with you. But to prosper the way God wants us to prosper, and God's way, you need the power of God. Because a lot of the people that are prospering, in quotes, you see, prosperity is not money. A lot of people, when we talk about prosperity, they are already thinking about money. Prosperity is much more than money. The Bible says, my brother, I wish you would prosper as your soul prospers. There's the prosperity of the soul. There are many people that have money, but they don't have peace. You see, you need the power of God to prosper in life. Turn with me to Daniel 6:28. Are you there? He says, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. He says he prospered. Listen to me. That prosper, the word prosper is all encompassing. It's not just that he was wealthy. He had peace. He was growing. He was blooming. He was flourishing. You need the power of God to prosper. You know, the wealth aspect is just part of it. You know, Deuteronomy 8:18 says something. It says that he's the one, God gives us the power to make wealth. So that's just one aspect of it. Now, I've spoken about all those things that power will do. But then, let me just conclude by looking at we've spoken about the effects. But let me conclude by looking at what Daniel did that caused all those effects to be in his life. One of the key things that will cause the power of God to be activated in your life is full submission to God. I use the word full submission to God. And let me explain what I mean. You see, in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, let me read from verse 7. It says, all the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, listen to this, they just said 30 days, they didn't say forever, for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. So they said just for 30 days, nobody should petition that whoever does that will go into the lion's den. And then it says, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, so he knew about it, he went home and in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god of man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Let me jump to... But basically, the bottom line is that they had plotted against Daniel because they knew that Daniel prayed every day. Now, listen to me. The decree was just for 30 days. And Daniel knew that if he prayed, he would be thrown into the lion's den. But Daniel was fully submissive to God. That for him, it was a case of, if I perish, I perish. One of the key things that will activate the power of God in your life is full submission to God. Now, get this. 2 weeks ago, I mentioned that some of the things, I said prayer will activate it. A lot of people pray, but they are not necessarily fully submissive to God. You know, Full submission to God is when God says, go this way, and your will and your spirit wants you to go that way. Oh, I don't know if I'm making sense. Full submission to God is when somebody steps on your feet and your immediate reaction is, hey! But God says, keep quiet. And you are fuming. Full submission to God. Oh my goodness. You see, listen to me. There was a time that Paul wanted to go to a certain city. I don't remember the certain city. And Agabus said that the person that has this belt will be bound up and things. And said, please don't go. Paul went knowing that there was a plot waiting for him in that city. But because he was fully submitted to God, he knew that in the midst of, if he stepped into that city, there was trouble waiting for him. Listen to me. Full submission to God is a case of inconveniencing yourself. You see, there's something about full submission to God. Full submission to God implies that when it is hurting you, but you know God is saying, do this, you are continuing in it. Now, many people pray, but they are not fully submitted to God. I also mentioned that the word 2 weeks ago, a lot of people know the word. I remember when I was a young Christian, not long after I gave my life, and there was this lady that was my friend, and she had been a Christian for some time. Now, this lady, I mean, she used to pray, like serious prayer and things, you know. And used to pray, would go to church on a regular basis. And in fact, see, she was one of the prayer, she used to pray with her pastor in those days. You know, she was one of like the prayer warriors that they would hold night vigil with the pastor in the pastor's house and things like that. Now, she knew the word. She used to read the word. She knew the word. When you're talking to her before, she quotes so many scriptures and things. Interestingly enough, with all that, she was always fighting with her sisters. There was a time that I don't mean physical fights, obviously, but whereby they're not getting along, there was a time she didn't speak to her sister for some time. There was another time, always, but see, all through that period, she used to, and she was a prayer warrior. She knew the word. Now, listen to me. A lot of people know the word. A lot of people pray. But full submission to God. When you are fully submitted to God, you know, there's something called, I think it's crayfish, they call it in my country. Crayfish. I won't say the word crayfish, not crayfish. We call it crayfish. Now, what was I going to say now? A crayfish has a sort of shell. Yes? Does it have a shell? Or it's bent, sort of. Now, a crayfish, once you try to straighten it up, you can't straighten it up. Because why? It breaks. A lot of people have made their life or tried to become like a crayfish. Whereas what God wants us to be is like clay. Whereby we are flexible. He molds us the way he wants. But a lot of us have become rigid. So that we are spiritual, but our spirituality is not reflected in our character. A lot of people are in the Holy of Holies. But when they come down from the Holy of Holies, we don't see the effect of that Holy of Holies in their earthly movements. And listen to me, there's no way the power of God can be activated in your life if you are not fully submitted to him. I believe personally that one of the reasons why God himself sent an angel to shut up the mouth of the lions is because he would have thought, this man is ready to die for my sake. He was not, you see, the Bible talks about Esther. It says, Esther said, if I perish, I perish. But she was fully submitted to what she believed God was telling her to do, at the risk to her own life. You see, the power of God in your life, as much as I've said all those benefits and effects, it cannot be activated if you are not fully submitted to God. You know, as I was reading this, I thought to myself, and the reality is, if I'm in that situation, I honestly don't know what I'll do. Because if I were in that situation, I might just say, 30 days, God, you won't miss me too much. After the 30 days, we'll count. I'm being honest, I really don't know. I pray that I'll be able to stand like Daniel. But unless you're in that situation, you don't know. So I'm not quick to say that this is what I'll do. But I pray I'll be able to do the right thing. But you see, a lot of us will not even think twice about it. 30 days, just 1 month. God, you won't mind. In fact, without us facing the lion's den, a lot of us are even doing, not speaking to God in over 30 days. Look straight, don't worry. Everybody's looking at me, Pastor, what do you mean? Some people here, you only pick your Bible on Sunday. And the only time you read it is when I say, turn to this scripture. If I some people, if it wasn't for the fact that we now put this thing on the screen, by the time we finish reading the scripture, they are still looking for where it is. Anyway, let me. Hallelujah. You see, I'm talking about the power of God working in us. And this is real. This is easy. You know, I haven't said anything that is beyond what you can do. I haven't said anything that is like you look on TV and you say, I cannot attain this. All you need to do is make a decision that, Lord, I want that power that is resident in me to begin to be activated, because you already have it in you. But in order for it to be activated, one of the things you require is full submission to God. I mean, Dr. Okiya Onwuzor mentioned a couple of other things, so I'm not even going to go into all that. But full submission to God will cause that power in your life to be activated. Let's rise up.